You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 7th of November. 40 Burger by CJ McCollum. How many guys can do that? How many teams have two guys can do that? Do you need to have that? Those were the thoughts last night. We'll talk about that. A great Legends lunch. Jazz shot distribution. Interesting little notes on that. Strength of schedule has such a large impact so far, and the Dallas Mavericks are in town. That's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers. You can get it at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcatcher you want. And you can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Hope everyone is great today. Got a bunch of stuff I kind of just told you, but I had just some, you know, sharing my NBA thoughts with you, get you ready for the Mavericks, some things on the Jazz. And the rest, I did a bunch of Channel 2 and KMYU stuff that's floating around the internet over on their site yesterday, if you want to catch that. I was with the great Dave Fox, had a good time on that. Tomorrow, live show coming your direction on Facebook Live. We'll do that for you. Locked On NBA today is Jake and John. Yesterday's show with Ben Golliver and Wes Goldberg was just terrific. Sam Amick and I will be coming to you on Thursday. I'm laughing. My daughter has a biography project that she has to do for her class. And so they had to write a biography on someone. And so she chose Doris Burke. And then the assignment came out and you could either write your biography or you could do a podcast with your person, do an interview. So she's like, well, I'm going to do a podcast. Can I interview Doris Burke? And I'm thinking to myself, like, wait a second. Like, I want Doris Burke on my podcast. So my daughter made up this little podcast and then called Doris Burke and did this interview with Doris Burke. So my daughter got 15 minutes with Doris Burke this week and I didn't. So I got scooped by my daughter. My eighth grade daughter started her podcasting career with just a Hall of Famer. That's cool. I got scooped. All right, let's get to it. I want to share, we do, with the help of Tammy Sloan, I organized a group to go to lunch with Jerry, Frank, and Ron McBride. We do it once a month. You know, Ron Boone and I talked about it for a long time that we should do it. And I think when Lavelle passed, we really felt like that we needed to get the group together. And yesterday we did it. I put out the picture on my Instagram account, which is dlock09. If you have not followed me on Instagram, please do. I'm also doing a ton of updates and live interviews and things like that on Instagram this year. From a Jazz standpoint, I'm actually pretty heavy on that. So kind of not a bad place to follow. But anyway, so we had this lunch yesterday and it was just so great. I can't share all the stories that were told. Frank Layden told a story about how he was in a press box in Buffalo and Larry H. Miller called him because he was mad about something. And then they, you know, well, let's check what Red Auerbach would do. And they're calling. I mean, it's just like just great stuff. And then Mark Eaton had a great story about John Stockton and how he wouldn't sign cards. It's just something John never did. And there was this moment in time when you were going to find out whether John really held to his beliefs. And sure enough, John, like, told some people that, like, you'd never imagine, I don't sign cards. Like, oh, my gosh, Stockton, like, held to it. So just great, great stories. And it was just a wonderful day. And a lot of what's helped out is Mark McCowan, who's our longtime strength and conditioning coach, is coming. And Gary Briggs, our longtime trainer, is there. And he looks great. And Phil Johnson has been there to each. And I don't think Phil Johnson's missed a lunch. And the former Salt Lake Tribune columnist, Dick Rosetta. Some of you guys probably don't know some of these names. Dick was a longtime columnist. And it's so fun for me because Dick and I used to brawl. Like when I broke into the market in Salt Lake in 1992, 1993, or 1994, like Dick was the longtime standing columnist and I was the young punk hosting a talk show being bombastic. So quite honestly, like I'm after Dick, right? Like I'm coming out here like trying to prove my salt and who I am. And there's going to be someone who comes after me at some point in time. It's just how it works. And I was like all over him, like just killing him. anytime he wrote anything I didn't like, I'm just doing a whole show on it and calling him nicknames and, you know, probably treating him the way Trump treats people. Like, now I think about it, like Elizabeth warned him. He's there. He's always got great stories. Jerry, Mark Eaton was just fabulous yesterday. Ron McBride's always the best. Ron was telling me some tough stories about a bunch of the players and football players and how much they're all struggling after life with various, you know, probably CTE related items, and that some of these guys got their settlement, but then if you get your settlement, you actually can't work. The way that settlement works that the NFL did, if you take the money, you have, that proves that you're disabled. So then you're not allowed to work, or you owe the money back, and they, and so these guys are really struggling. Frank's doing great. He's had some medical stuff recently. He's doing great. He's 86 years old and just fabulous. Dave Fredman was there. Steve Loom, great longtime Salt Lake Tribune column beat writer. So just it was just, I wanted to share. I don't, you know, that's a private setting and we have a good time, so I can't, you know, and some of the stories are not there to be shared, and I don't want them to suddenly think, oh wow, everything I ever say in this goes on the podcast, because it would ruin the whole event. But it was just, yesterday was particularly good and just really fun, and I thought as Jazz fans, you guys would probably care a great deal about that. Here was my thought last night. That Milwaukee-Portland game was great, partially because Kevin Calabro was calling it, and he's the most brilliant. How many teams have multiple guys that can drop, I don't know, what's our level, 30, 40? Like, I think it's a really interesting concept. I want to run through that in the next segment, because we're going to run out of time if we do it in this segment. And I think it might explain a little bit of how we've played in two of our last three games, too, because there aren't a lot of teams that only have one guy. We only have one guy that can drop a 40-burger on a night. I don't know why I'm calling it that, but it just feels like that's what it was last night. Like, CJ was just stupid good. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. I think this is interesting, by the way, and I think this is important. It tells you that we're structured correctly. It tells you that if we can start playing average basketball again, that I think we're in pretty good shape. We're the fourth highest free throw rate in the league. By the way, I know everyone's freaking out because we're missing free throws. Guys regress to the mean over a period of time, which means you get back to it. Two, we're not as bad as you think we are. We're not good, but we're not as bad as you think we are. And three, it actually has far less impact on a game than you think it is. I definitely would think it. You could say it cost Minnesota, but there's like a million games in which, you know, just like shooting 20% from three and being, you know, last in league in corner three shooting is probably a lot larger deal. Now, it, you know, we're going to the line the second most of any team in the league, so when you suddenly are shooting 72.7% from the line, it makes a big deal, but you know, okay, so we're taking 30 free throws a game. What do you think we should be shooting? League average is 76, so we should be at 76. Okay, so that would be, and we're shooting 72. You know, I think it would take like 100 free throws, like for you to actually, like, I think this might be one free throw miss a game that's the difference right there, right? So, it, you know, going from 72.7 to 76, get the league average, would gets us one free throw a game. For all the haranguing about free throws I'm hearing, it's just obvious. It's still the game stopped. It's an easy one to choose. It's actually not accurate. All right, so here's what I thought is great. So we're fourth in the league in free throw rate. We're getting the second most amount of shots at the rim. We're getting an incredible amount of shots at the rim, 42% of our shots at the rim. We're getting the third amount of corner threes. Those are the three singular most efficient ways to score. My goodness gracious, if we weren't getting those, what would happen? We're 16th in the league offensively, and a lot of the offense is being predicated right now on the fact that our head coach is so good that he's getting, and our analytics department so good that we've got this thing broken down into an area in which we're getting, you know, we're getting the right shots. In fact, we're still stunningly number one in the NBA in quality of shots. I talked about it yesterday. Atlanta is, it's actually not close. We're at 55.1. Number two is 53.9. Number three is 53.8. Now, my only concern is that that number is going to drop. And when that number drops, then, and that doesn't even count that we're going to the free throw line. So, I mean, we're so much more dramatically getting efficient shots than any other team in the league. I think that's a good sign. Now, we're 29th in the league in corner threes. And I think that gets better, but I'm not convinced of it, honestly. Jay Crowder's 4 of 15. That gets better. Dante's 2 of 12. Favors is 2 of 12. Dante should be better than 17%, but he's not great. Donovan was 50% last year. He's 1 of 7. Rubio's 3 of 10. So Jay Crowder's taken our most. He should be better than that. He was at 40% a few years ago. Our next three guys that are taking most of our corner threes are not great. Jarebko was our best corner three shooter last year. Rubio, as a corner three shooter for his career, is 34%. So that's, like, he's on his number. Dante Favors is on his number, frankly. Like, we don't know that. Dante, for his career, is a 29% corner three shooter. So a little bit disturbing on that is our offense is predicated on getting these shots, and Dante's going to be better than 17%, but his career is 29%, and Rubio's at 30%, and his career is 33%. Crowder's the one who's going to tick up. Jay Crowder had a 40% year, I think, in Boston, his best year from three. So, and is 40% for his career. All right, 40 Burger conversation coming up in just a second. Today's show is brought to you by The Store. Great stuff going on, and this is so exciting. We talk about The Store all the time at 6200 South and 20th East, and you've probably said to yourself, like, I'd like to try it. It's not that convenient. Well, guess what? They announced First South and Rio Grande Street downtown. A brand new store location is coming your direction. So if you're downtown, you're going to get to experience all the greatness of the Mudslide Cookie and all the personal feelings of the store. So exciting for Scotty and Jeff to be able to pull that off. The other one is Distel Turkey pre-order starting now. So you can order in-store. You can call into the meat department. Distel is a multi-generational family farm committed to delivering all natural, hormone-free, vegetarian-fed birds. $3.49 per pound, which is a pretty low price. So if you kind of go compare the other places, that's pretty similar. So that's all at The Store right now. Congratulations to The Store on their new location. Congratulations. It's the old J. Crew space right across from the Children's Museum. So you can stop by on your way to ball games or just down the valley whenever you're in downtown. I'm pretty excited for that. And the turkey orders are in as well. Stop by while you're there. Get your Mudslide Cookie. 6200 South, 20th East. It is The Store. Today's show is also brought to you by Vivid Seats. They're an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, you can watch your favorite teams, artists perform in person. You can head to Friday night's game, see your least favorite person in person as well. Sports, concerts, theater, and more. Vivid Seats offers great prices. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Vivid Seats is an app on your phone, so go to the App Store, Google Play, download Vivid Seats app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. So stop by or download the app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, $20 off for $200 or more of your first order. All right. How many teams out there have guys that can drop, do we want to do 30 or 40? I think it's interesting. Watch, the Raptors have Lowry, who can do it, Kawhi, who can do it easily. Ibaka has done it, but I don't think that's a regular experience. So, okay, so they have two. Milwaukee has Middleton, Giannis, and Bledsoe's close. I don't know the last time Bledsoe's done it, but it feels like Bledsoe can get to 30 on a given night. You have to you like it if it's probably a little more efficient than he always does. But it feels like they might actually have three. Frankly, Brook Lopez at one point in his career could do that. I'm looking up to see the last time, and maybe I'm wrong on Bledsoe. I just feel like he's capable of that. He went 39 last year, was his big number. He's had a 39, a 40, a 30. He's had a season high of 30 at some point every year, except for, every year he's had a. So I would say they have three. Indiana's got Oladipo and probably not anyone else. And thus, last year, when Oladipo didn't play, they were like 0-9. Okay? It's an interesting kind of – watch this. It gets interesting. Boston's got a ton of guys. I don't know if Horford can still do it, and I'm not sure G can do it right now. But Kyrie can do it. Jason Tatum can do it. But maybe not as many as you think, frankly. They're a little overblown. But Kyrie can do it. Tatum can do it. I don't know that I think Jaylen Brown can go drop 30. 76ers have Joel Embiid. I don't think I can, I don't feel comfortable saying I think Ben Simmons can go drop 30 or 40 burger. I mean, certainly 40 burgers, CJ McCollum dropped last night special. But Ben Simmons' season high last year was 20 in the playoffs, was 24, and the regular season was 32, but that's, he's not doing that with regularity. So I'm, and JJ Redick, Ben Simmons went to 30 twice all of last year. That's something lining up. That's not doing it. That's not a guy who can just go drop 30. So Philly's interesting. They only have one. And when Joel Embiid doesn't play, they struggle. Right? They're interesting right now, by the way. They're 6-0 at home, 0-5 on the road. Charlotte's got Kemba and no one else. And in turn, when Kemba ever leaves the floor for them, they're a mess. This has been an ongoing issue for them for a long, long time. Charlotte and our rosters are not crazily different, frankly. Nicholas Batum is Joe Ingles. But right, whenever Kemba leaves the floor for them, they have just a miserable, miserable time. Maybe they'll be better with Tony Parker's veteran, just kind of calming things down. So you look through the Eastern Conference. You have Toronto's got two guys. Milwaukee's got two guys. Bledsoe's question mark. Indiana's one. Boston's two. Indiana's, Philly's one. Charlotte's one. Brooklyn's none. Miami's got Dragic, maybe. Detroit's got Blake. He can definitely drop 30 burger. Reggie Jackson tries but doesn't. Orlando, I'd say, has zero. Atlanta has Trae Young but zero. Chicago has zero. Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine can go drop 30. The Knicks have zero. Tim Hardaway Jr., but not really. I mean, someone has to do it every now and then just because you score enough points. Washington is a disaster. They are 2-8 and were down 20 in the first half last night in Dallas. Cleveland doesn't have any. I mean, I like defense. I like numbers. I like metrics. I like all this advanced metrics. This is like the simplest analysis piece of teams in the NBA. Who can put 30 on the board and rank them? And if you do that in the Eastern Conference, you end up with Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Indiana, Philly, Charlotte, Miami, Detroit, Brooklyn, or Chicago. Like, that's comes close to the standings. In the West, the Warriors have three. Denver has Jamal Murray, evidently, Nikola Jokic, and I think Gary Harris. Maybe Harris not that often, but they... And they play such a balanced system that it's hard to tell. And we could probably debate Gary Harris a little bit. I'm a big Gary Harris fan. I was actually with some scouts the other day who are not. I was like stunned. Didn't know that existed. But there's something to the capability of just going and dropping. Harris only did it three times last year, so maybe he should not count. And maybe I'm even overselling Jamal Murray because of the fact that Jamal Murray, you know, went nuts for 40, whatever, trying to get 50 and pissing off Kyrie. I love Jalen Rose's, you know, just don't let him get that close. You don't get offended. I think Jamal Murray did it 7 times last year. That's a guy, and Jokic can do it. So they have 2. Let's go. I think putting Gary Harris in that mix. Portland's got 2. San Antonio's got 2. LaMarcus and DeMar. Clippers, Tobias Harris, probably that's it. Sacramento, I'd say 0. Not there with Buddy Hield or Oklahoma City's got 2. Maybe 3 in Dennis Schroeder. And when he gets going. Memphis, I say, has none. I just don't think Conley or Gasol is at a point where they have the firepower to drop that. I'm not even sure what I think of Chris Paul in Houston right now. At 33 years old, do I still think Chris Paul can go drop 30? I actually think Carmelo is more likely to go drop 30 in a game than I do Chris Paul. Is that fair? Chris Paul dropped 34 times last year, right on the edge. I'm not sure I think he can still do it. You know, guys get old. He's 33. He's dropped 32 once this year. He dropped 28 in another one. Probably should include Chris Paul. Okay, so Houston's got 2. We've got 1. New Orleans has 1.5. New Orleans has lost 6 in a row, by the way. We beat New Orleans and they're 4-0. They haven't won a game since. Lakers have 1. Minnesota has 3. Dallas has none. Phoenix has 1. It's such a simplistic way to look at it, but it also makes a little sense of why suddenly we don't look great when our 1 is missing. You take these teams that have 1 and their guy doesn't play, I would guess that winning percentage is about 10%. Right? So the teams that have 1, Philadelphia without Joel Embiid does not win. Charlotte without Kemba Walker does not win. Miami without Goran Dragic is not winning. Detroit, I think if you take Blake off them right now, they're going to have a hard time. They have a lot of shooters. Zach LaVine doesn't play in Chicago. They don't win. They don't win with him, though. Tobias Harris doesn't play with the Clippers. Despite their depth, I think they'd struggle. Rockets, frankly, couldn't win without James Harden. New Orleans got 2, but they aren't winning without Anthony Davis. We're not winning without Donovan Mitchell. Lakers aren't going to win any games without LeBron. Phoenix couldn't win without Devin Booker. You know, when you got one guy that can drop 30 or go bananas for 40, but 30 is probably the number, and he doesn't play, you're in a little bit of trouble. We'll look at Dallas and one other little thing that's kind of dictating how standings sit right now. I still want to do Toronto's shot distribution from yesterday. I don't think we're going to get to it. Today's show is brought to you in part by Shamrock Auto Group. This is a great thing about Shamrock and what Rob Taylor, not Rob Thomas, Rob Taylor has grown. Go to the Google, type in Shamrock Auto Group. Okay? Comes up, first thing, used cars, Pleasant Grove, Utah dealer. If you go down one, it's at least on my Google, not everyone's the same. There's cars.com, and you click on it. 113 ratings, 5.0 stars. Click on the ratings. Shamrock Auto Group does predominantly nearly new cars. Utah County Assault Vehicles would probably be their lead concept. So Escalades and Yukons and Expeditions and minivans. So you've clicked on that. Bought a new car today. It was the smoothest experience I've ever had doing so. Jake was in communication with me from the time the car was on the truck to its way to the dealership. Notified me when it arrived. Was patient with us throughout our test drive. See, you can tell them what kind of car you want, and they'll go get it for you. Here's busy family in Morgan, Utah. Smooth process. We negotiated the phone because of distance. Everything was as promised when we arrived. Would definitely recommend them. Shamrock Auto Group out in Pleasant Grove. It's just what salesperson was great to work with when the original loan could not be redone. They worked with us and found someone willing to help us. We were glad they offered warranties and such. It was overall a great experience. Will be repeat customers. That's what makes Shamrock Auto Group roll. Out in Pleasant Grove, say hi to Rob. Rob is bullish on the Jazz. He's got a bunch of fun things going on right now. When you buy, you get a free lifetime 7-day cooler, which is Utah company comparable to Yeti. He also is going to give you $1,000 cash bonus if the Jazz win the championship. If you buy in October, I'm guessing he'll keep that in November because it seems unlikely right now. So it'd be all the more fun to get it. All right. One note before we look at Dallas. I was just looking at some ESPN notes. I'm just really sharing. All right. Let's look at the NBA standings for a second. Boston, 6-4. Little surprising. Probably underperforming. People lost 2 in a row. Hardest schedule in the NBA so far. New Orleans, 4-6. Oh, my gosh. Underperforming. Second hardest schedule in the NBA. Give the Bucks credit. They're 8-2. Third hardest schedule in the NBA. Phoenix, Igor's losing it. 2-8. Minnesota, 4-7. Turmoil in the fifth hardest schedule. Lakers, got Luke Walton freaking out on everybody. Losing it. Telling them they're terrible. 4-6. Sixth hardest schedule in the NBA. Utah, seventh hardest schedule in the NBA. People freaking out, 4-6. When you've only played 10 games. Orlando, 4-6. They've actually won 2 in a row. Maybe they're going to turn around. Okay, the easiest schedules in the league are all the worst teams. So if you actually then go to the middle of the pack and find the teams that actually haven't had that hard a schedule, Golden State, 10-1. They're going to be 10-1 anyway. Charlotte, the big surprise of the Eastern Conference. Well, they've had the 21st ranked schedule. Toronto, 10-1. They've had the 22nd ranked schedule so far. Memphis, huge surprise, 25th ranked schedule in the NBA so far. Detroit, huge surprise, 26th ranked schedule in the NBA so far. They're actually only now 4-5, having lost 5 in a row because suddenly it all fell apart. So when you look at Miami, has had the 27th ranked schedule. At this point of the season, scheduling has an enormous, enormous impact on things. And that's probably worth remembering. All right, today's matchup with Dallas. Luka Doncic comes to town, 20 points a game, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. They won last night to break their 6-game losing streak. They're 3-7 on the season. They are the second-best team in the NBA in transition. They don't do it very often, but they are the second-best team in transition. And the Jazz right now are 8th or 9th in transition defense. Let me pull that up for you. So that is going to be a huge part of this story. When they get out and run, now they're on a back-to-back, and that'll be more difficult. But when they get out, we're 26th in the league in transition defense right now. 18th in the half court. It's not great. So we need to tighten the screws on that one, certainly. The other one that's interesting is for all the talk of what a great defensive player DeAndre Jordan is, they are not defending. They're 23rd in the league in defense. They are 29th in the league in defending in the half court. So the Jazz get in the half court. They've got to do a good job of executing offensively. If Donovan plays, that will certainly help them. They allow the fewest corner threes of any team in the NBA, but they are allowing the highest percentage on non-corner threes above the break, 44%. That's actually an unnatural number. It'll come back. That'll help them out. So Dallas will get better as the year goes on. Right now, they're 30th in the NBA in defending the three-point shot at 44%. And, you know, that number comes down. That's a variable, has a great variance. I'm sure Carlisle's worrying about it a great deal, but it's still a number that comes down a little bit. They turn it over at a high level. They're 28th in the league at turning it over. And as I mentioned, you know, because of that number, they're not defending the shot a great deal. The other one that's kind of interesting defensively is they do a great job overall of keeping you off the rim and off the three-point line. So they're a pretty smart money ball defense. And we are a really, really good money ball offense. So I think it will be an interesting game to watch to see how they are able, you know, what they're able to do. Whether or not they get us caught into a mid-range game. And we just, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking mid-range shots if you're a great shooter. The problem is not very good shooters taking mid-range shots is a problem. And a huge percentage of our mid-range shots right now are coming from Ricky Rubio, who's last year was a 40% long mid-range shooter. Right now is about a 33%. If he goes up to 44%, that's late in the shot clock. That's not the worst thing ever. It's not the greatest thing ever, but it's not the worst thing ever either. Dallas so far this year, again, the above the break stuff is just bizarre what's happening to them and will end at some point in time here. Washington even last night was 10 of 27 on above the break threes. Utah last time we played, we did not hit those. We're the one team that has not torched them. We hit 4 of 8 on corner threes against them. We got 33% of our 33 shots at the rim. So against a team, and that's the second most they've allowed in any game all year long. So keep an eye on that. All right, got to get tonight, frankly. You know, there just aren't a lot of wins on our schedule here the way it's lined up early. You got to get tonight. Then we'll have the madhouse that is Friday night. We go back on the road for five-game trip, home for one, gone for two, home for one, gone for three. That, my friends, is about as close to a 12-game road trip as I've ever seen in the NBA. And the killer on that, just to complain for a second, is when we come back for one against Sacramento, we leave the day after the Sacramento game. We come back for one against Indiana. It's a back-to-back, and we leave the day after. So we just got to survive. We got to somehow be on our feet when we go to Brooklyn on November 27th and find a way to win those three games, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Miami, and then we can get rolling in December and hopefully be above water. This is Locked On Jazz. Thanks to the store. Thanks to Shamrock Auto. Appreciate the support. It is Locked On Jazz. Go listen to Locked On NBA with John Corrales and Jake Madison. Always a fun Wednesday show. Have a great one.